All right, let's get into the Word this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture. So hopefully you found Ephesians chapter 6 by now. We are in the middle of our series, Eight Vital Signs for Spiritual Health. Eight Vital Signs for Spiritual Health. Now these aren't eight signs, and there are no more. Very likely there are more than these, but these are eight that we've chosen to help us identify when we're spiritually healthy. We know when we're physically unhealthy. Our blood pressure goes haywire, our temperature goes funny, our heartbeat goes funny, our respiration goes funny, and we know how to get to the emergency room. But so many of us are maybe functioning with very faulty, abnormal spiritual vital signs, and many times we don't even know it. We're not even aware that our spirit really needs life support. But we're just going on normal. And so we've studied four so far. If you haven't been with us, go on the website and watch the video, or you can order DVDs at the Welcome Center after the service. Today is number five, and it's the vital sign of how to equip yourself, how to tailor fit your armor. How to tailor fit your armor. And this comes out of Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very popular, very common passage, but oftentimes we will skate over the common passages because we think we know them so well. And we just kind of, okay, fine, armor of God. We get that, helmet of salvation, belt of truth, so on. And we just kind of skate by. This is vital, church. Amen? This is vital to our existence and to our health as Christians. Are we equipped daily, constantly, in what the Bible calls our armor? Do we even think about equipping ourselves on a daily basis? Now, let me ask you a question. Why would you need armor? Because there's an enemy. And why would, is it okay? Okay, we have an enemy, but what if the enemy's two continents away? Do we still need armor? Probably not. Why do we need armor? Because he's present. Amen? We have an enemy that is real and present. When we celebrated Rich's return from Iraq last Sunday. And Rich, you're not in full gear today. Because hopefully you're among friends. But nobody's going to attack Rich today. But if you followed his Facebook posts, when he was overseas in the Middle East, he was fully geared up. He had the weapons and the stuff and the gear and all that. Because the enemy was very present there. Well, see, church, sometimes we think the enemy is somewhere else. That he's off somewhere, doing something different, doesn't really care about us so much. Let me tell you, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have a present enemy. So therefore, we need to armor ourselves every single day. Now, we know this armor is a metaphor. It's a metaphor. We're not looking around for shoes and breastplates and shields and swords and things. Now, you know, there isn't a Christian bookstore where you go on the web and, oh, my helmet's worn out. Let me get a helmet. Let me get a breast. Nobody came in with breastplates. We know it's metaphorical. It's metaphorical for how we think. Okay? This is all the thought. This is a thinking issue. Our Christian life really does rise and fall by how we think. It's all up here. How are we aware? How do we make decisions? How do we respond to temptation? How do we respond to disciplines? How do we respond in difficult situations? What is our worldview like? What is our political view like? What is our parenting view like? What is our employment and workaday view like? It's how we think. There's a scripture in Romans 12 that's powerful. Many of you know it. Read it with me, would you? Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't it great to know you can know God's will? You can know God's will. There's a recipe right there for you. But it takes a conforming of our mind to the things of God and a resistance to the pattern of this world. How many know the world has a pattern? It really, really does. If I were to say to you, describe to me the pattern of the world, just by, you know, you can just call out, what are a couple of things that you would say, oh, this is a pattern in our world? What would be a few things? Me first. Is that a pattern of this world? Yeah, man, when it all boils down to it, it's me and me and me alone. If I got to step on you, well, sorry, I like you, but it might just be me against you, and I'm going to choose me. Me first. What else? What's that? Okay. Yeah, healthy lifestyle. We want to be healthy. Ever say healthy? Selfie. Oh, selfie. Oh, you mean like self? What you mean? Which is true. It's the same kind of thing that Daniel said. That this lifestyle of me, it's all about me. I'm the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me. And don't you dare tell me what I should do or think. And by all means, don't tell me that there's a God who actually dictates what I should think or how I should behave. One more. Okay, your worth is judged by your possessions or your skills, or are you charismatic? Are you good looking? Our worth is measured by outside things. God doesn't measure that way. God measures our worth simply by one thing. He loves us. We sang it already over and over, and we could keep singing it over and over. Here's why we're valuable. He loves us. And the beauty of this whole thing is that all of our value is the same. Because the value of something is what someone else is willing to pay for it. Right? Okay? You may not think something is valuable, but somebody else might think it's very valuable, so they'll pay a higher price than you. Jesus paid the exact same price for all of us on the cross. That means we're all of equal value. Doesn't matter where we are, what we look like, what our ethnic background is, rich, poor, big, tall, skinny, whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is that he died for us, therefore setting our value the same. There's a pattern of this world. God says there's also a pattern that's godly. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform it into God's pattern. God's way of thinking. And that's what this morning is all about. The preparation and discipline needed to follow Jesus starts in and is maintained in the mind. We had to learn to think like Jesus thinks. If we're going to follow Christ, we got to think different. That's what repentance is all about, right? I thought one way, and therefore my behavior followed my thought. And now I'm thinking a different way, and my behavior will follow that thought. We've got to change the way we think. All right, let's jump into Ephesians 6 then. It's a longer passage, but I want us to read it together, and everything we say in the next 20 minutes is going to be jumping off of this. Read it with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord God, open our minds to this word, that we might understand the armor of God is given to us as a protection against a very real adversary. Help us, Lord, in our daily life to realize we're in a war. It's a vital sign of our spirit to realize that there is an enemy. He does seek to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have given us armor in which to stand against him. Help us, God, today to think different. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you four key thoughts to ensure that your armor fits. First of all, the Bible calls our life, our spiritual life, war. We've discussed this already a bit. It is a war. You're in a battle. What did you expect? If Jesus had to go to the cross to give his life, doesn't it make sense that we're in a war? Why would it cost that much? Why would it cost his life? Because it's a battle. In other parts of the scripture, the Apostle Paul refers to this life as spiritual warfare. Not physical warfare necessarily, but warfare in the spirit. Don't raise your hands, but how many people really, on a daily basis, understand that you're in a spiritual battle? We go through the battles, but we don't often recognize them as such. Should I do this or should I do that? Shall I reach out here or should I not? Kimmy spoke about sometimes being a little bit timid and nervous instead of being bold. Now she's overcoming because she's stepping out being bold the way the Scripture commands us to do. All day long, we're forced into these decision-making times. Should I or shouldn't I? Will I or won't I? Even in your attitude, will I be joyful and cheerful and peaceful? Or will I be grouchy and moody and critical and cynical? We are in a battle all the time. This existence is called a war. The enemy will even use good things in this war. Jesus spoke about these things when he said, come into my table. And they all made excuses. Oh, I've got to go see my wife who I just married. I've got to go try out a new yoke of oxen. I've got to go out and see a field I just bought. All good things. But recognize, even good things can be your adversary when they replace God. Oh, I can't serve because. I can't reach out because. I can't give because. I can't love someone because. Any of those becauses are typical of the pattern of this world. I'd rather do what I want to do. I'd rather do what's comfortable for me. I'd rather do what's easier for me. I'd rather do what I'm more used to. I'd rather do what's really good. But then we deny the things of God. We're in a war. And even good things can be used in this warfare. Number two, there exists an already defeated enemy. There is an enemy. We recognize that. He's not some, caricature. He's not some caricature in a red suit with a pointy tail and horns and with a little wicked smirk on his face, living in hell where he has dominion and he's just trying to get people to join in. That's nonsense. That's cartoon. The scripture says the devil appears as an angel of light. Beautiful, tempting, alluring. Let me ask you, would temptation be tempting if it wasn't attractive and have a little bit of pleasure? And that's really why it's tempting, right? Because for a season and for a little bit, it's good. It feels good. It tastes good. It's like, yeah, I like that. Until the consequences come and then destruction. There is a real enemy. But praise God, he's already defeated. Amen? He's already done. When Jesus said, it is finished, not only was the work is finished to redeem my people, but devil, your power is finished. You no longer have dominion in this place. And Ephesians 6 spoke to that. He's already defeated. You don't need to fear. Number three, my enemy is neither people nor circumstances. Let me just tell you this right now. Your enemy isn't Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Your enemies aren't the Democrats or the Republicans. We're not even, God's not even, he didn't even sign up for the party. God's not voting. But in this election season, it's pretty crazy to watch the kingdom of God enter into a pattern of the world and begin to spew on each other. Therefore, removing any opportunity to be distinct in a world that's really, really crazy right now. You follow what I'm saying? Even our Christian leaders are starting to volley, cannon fire back and forth at each other, depending on which political view they come from. And I can see God just going, wait, what just happened here? Since when did my church take on the pattern of this world? Instead of being transformed and letting no unclean thing come out of their mouth. Letting no thing except for that which is encouraging and building up of one another out of their mouth. When did we ignore the practical nature of God's word for the sake of our own agenda? They're not the enemy. There is a marionette puppet puppeteer behind the scenes going, watch what I can do to God's kingdom now just by having a crazy election. Let me see how I can get the church to be deluded and how I can get God's people to get confused. And they'll think it's honorable because they're fighting for a political agenda. But let me see if I can get them to lower themselves into a baseness so that they'll lose their distinction and the world will just realize they're like everybody else instead of being distinct and different. It doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. It doesn't mean that you won't cast a vote for who you think is right. But when we lower ourselves to the backbiting and the negativity and the anger and the venom, we've lost our distinction and the enemy has gained foothold. People aren't our enemy. Circumstances aren't our enemy. We got to get that. Number four, Scripture says to stand. I love this. How many times in that passage in Ephesians did it say to stand? How many times? You read them? There's four times. Four times. I want you to stand against the enemy's schemes. And then I want you to stand. And when you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Telling us to stand. Now this is great. Because to stand means you're not pursuing. You already possess the victory. Sometimes in our worship songs it says, we've got to go conquer the enemy. Church, he's already conquered. There's no enemy to conquer. You're the conqueror. We are more than conquerors. We are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 says, right? We're already conquerors. When Jesus died on the cross, he firmly planted his flag at the top, and the enemy's job is to try to drag us down and to try to bring insecurity and fear and doubt into our minds. We've already conquered in Jesus' name. So you're living your Christian life not to achieve victory, but you're standing from a position of victory. Amen. That's where we stand. You already got this. Just stand. The Scripture does say, though, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. That you can't stand there arrogantly thinking, oh, no big deal, I got this, we're not in a war. Yes, you are, therefore the armor. Okay, you're victorious already in Jesus. Let's stand there. So let's look at the armor. The armor is a metaphor for how we think. For how we think. I want to ask you a few questions. A few questions as we look at each one of these pieces. It says, put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6 said, put on the armor. What that phrase put on means, in the Greek language, it means permanence. Put it on and never take it off. Put it on. You don't put it on, take it off for bed, put it back on in the morning, get up. Oh, I'm kind of sick of the armor. Let me take it off. I'm a little uncomfortable. Put it back. No, you keep it on all the time. It's a permanent spiritual armor. And the phrase stand firm is really a military term for holding a position already achieved. We already got the position. Just stand firm. So as we stand firm, there are three pieces first that are worn all the time by a soldier. Actually, some of these pieces, the soldier would take them off to eat or whatever. But these first three, he never took off. The first one is the belt of truth. The belt held the tunic all together. The tunic was that body length piece of cloth that covered you. And it was kind of loose hanging. And the belt held that together and held it tight so that an enemy couldn't grab it or it wouldn't get in your way and you'd trip over it. Truth holds all things together. Amen? When you know the truth, it will set you free. When you know truth, you know how to decide. When you know truth, you will know how to parent. When you know truth, you will know how to behave on the job. When you know truth, you'll be able to understand and discern circumstances. When you know truth, you'll be able to discern God's will. But here's the problem. Does God's truth really guide your life? Or does your own intuition guide your life? Well, yeah, I know God's truth, but this makes better sense. Yeah, Lord, I know that what your truth says, but this is more logical. I know, God, your truth, but this is much more palatable. How many know God's truth is not always comfortable, but it's always right? God's truth is not always easy, but it's always fulfilling and profitable. Church, we need God's truth. It's the belt that holds all things together. That's a piece of armor. If you want to know how to defeat the enemy, how did Jesus defeat the enemy? When Satan tempted him, he volleyed truth back in his face time after time after time. And the devil had to leave him. How about this, Jesus? The Bible says. How about this, Jesus? It is written. How about this, Jesus? The Word of God says. Oh, man, I can't fight with you. Church, the more you know God's Word and the truth, the more you'll be able to withstand the enemy's schemes. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate, that piece of armor that covered the body, that covers the vitals, those organs that have struck its immediate death. This breastplate was always worn in battle. Always. Never did you go out without the breastplate. It protected you. And it's righteousness that protects you. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Philippians 3 says, I don't have a righteousness of my own, but it is a righteousness from God. It's His righteousness, not yours. It's not about you being good. It's about dwelling in His righteousness. The problem is, sometimes we let our emotions or truth, do I let emotions or truth determine my actions? Righteousness is behavior. Do I let my emotions determine my behavior, or the righteousness of God determine my behavior? Let me just tell you this. No matter what Disney says, don't follow your heart. Okay? I'm not going to stand up here and some Disney princess nonsense that says, I just followed my heart and everything worked out. It won't work out. The Bible says you can't even know your heart. Your heart is the most deceptive over all things in your life. We can't follow our emotions. Have you ever seen your emotions and God's Word fight? All the time. God, this is what I want to do. But God's Word says, don't you do it. Well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Right off the cliff. Your heart doesn't know. God's Word knows. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult. The breastplate of righteousness will keep your vital spiritual organs safe. It's the Word of God. Church, don't follow your emotions. So you got to know your truth. Don't follow your emotions. Number three, the shoes of readiness. Am I constantly thinking of opportunity to please Jesus? These shoes were like cleats that they wore, the soldiers wore. They had nails or some kind of just cleating material in the bottom to give them good grip. And we understand cleats. You need to have an ability to act quickly. Did you realize that many times a soldier may lose his life or not lose his life based on one particular article of clothing? That's his socks. I read about this in World War II, that one of the most important pieces of equipment were that soldier's socks. Because they'd be out in the jungles or the fields, and their feet would get moist and wet, and then pretty soon the diseases and they'd have feet problems, and you can't fight if you can't walk. You can't fight if you can't run. If your feet are messed up, you can't function. We need to be ready. And the gospel of peace keeps our feet from falling. Am I constantly thinking of opportunities to plead Jesus? Here's what I know. You'll sin a whole lot less when you're always thinking about what you can do for Christ. You will. Man, when I'm on the mission field and doing, you know, mission trips and so on, I almost don't think of the same tempting thoughts I think when I'm here. Because I'm focused. How am I going to serve? What am I going to do? Who am I going to teach? How am I going to reach out? And then I come home and you let down your guard. And you stop thinking so intently. This is everyday armor. When you wake up, I'm going to serve you, Lord. When you get out of bed, it's for you, Lord. When you give of your life every day, you go to work, it's for you, Lord. Every day, every day, every day. Are we ready? Or do we miss the opportunity? Number four, the helmet of salvation. The helmet that fit over your head, that leather piece of armor with you see in the movies, and it was really true with the kind of the metal face plates to guard your face. It guards our mind. Salvation guards your mind. Or are my thoughts hopeful or discouraged and doubtful? Don't raise your hand. Do you tend to be more doubtful and discouraged, especially in today's life? Oh, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if my finances will make it. Oh, I'm having health problems. And you start just getting discouraged and doubtful. Realizing the helmet of salvation. Salvation says, Jesus has got you. Salvation says, there is an eternal hope and it's already secured. Salvation says your price has already been paid. Salvation says there is an end and you get to be with Jesus forever and ever. Salvation says whatever you're going through now is temporal. Being with Him is permanent. You cannot lose that. That creates hope inside of you. Yeah, we all get discouraged a little bit. Yeah, we all have those moments we kind of feel like, ah. But salvation, the helmet of salvation is designed to change our thinking to say, hey, wait a minute. Why, like the psalmist said, why is my soul so downcast? Put your hope in God. That's the remedy for a downcast soul. Wait a minute. This is going to pass and I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I've got opportunity right now to give Him glory. You know, I went through the Proverbs the last few months in my own quiet time. You know what I kept finding? There are verse after verse after verse after verse about being cheerful. I'm going to preach that sometime. I just kind of caught me off guard. It talks a lot about being cheerful. And I think I know why. Because I got the helmet of salvation. Who wouldn't be cheerful when you know the living God is your Father and He's coming back for you and He's with you right now? Why be downcast? But if you find your heart and your mind being doubtful and discouraged, then maybe you've got the helmet of salvation off. You're not thinking through that. Number five, the shield of faith. Do I trust God in every circumstance? Do I trust Him in every circumstance? Or do I trust Him in the easy ones and I kind of take the hard ones? Or do I let Him have the hard ones and I take the easy ones? The shield of faith is designed to protect us from the enemy's schemes. If you were a soldier back in those days, they would shoot arrows with this pitch on the end of them. They light them on fire. They shoot them at you, and it causes all kinds of problems. But the shield would be held up, and the arrows would hit the shield and not you. There's all kinds of circumstances, thoughts, patterns of this world, all kinds of science sometimes, just stuff that are those darts that sneak in, and they find their mark in your heart, and pretty soon you're starting to doubt God. Oh, God, will you be there? Will you help me to survive? Will you help me to overcome? Will there be... Who's our God anyway? Is He not the creator of the universe who with a word spoke and poof, the Milky Way? That's a pretty big God. And how He organized everything in its place. We have got, church, a really, really, really big God. The shield of faith. That spiritual way of thinking says that. My problem is big, but how big is it in comparison to my God? Oh, it ain't nothing. All things are possible to those who love the Lord. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. True? Is it true or is it not true? It's true. Then, shield of faith. I'm going to stand in that. Or, do we let our trust be in other things? Number six and last, sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Do I know God's Word well enough to call on it to dictate every decision? Every decision. Do you know God's Word well enough? What good does it do if you have a sword, but you keep grabbing the sharp end and trying to beat somebody with the dull end? I'm going to just beat you with this handle until you cut your own self. What good is it having a weapon and you got to point it backwards? You pull the trigger, you shoot yourself. Doesn't do us any good. Somebody of us, oh, you know, I kind of know some verses. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I know that one. Just for you, it's not in the Bible. Just thought I'd tell you that. Because some of you are going, yeah, I think I read that. I think that's in there. No, it ain't in there. I think I read that in the book of Hezekiah. Yeah, I think I read that. That's not a book either, by the way. Go, oh, God helps those who help themselves. Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. No, that's not in there either. Some of you are really going, really? Those aren't in the Bible? I saw that on a sitcom. I saw the shirt, it's in the Bible. Do you know your word? The word is truth. It's not only truth, but it's a double-edged sword. It's the only parrying and offensive weapon we have. The rest is just armor to protect. Remember, we're to stand. But sometimes the enemy gets close enough, and when he does, you whip out that sword and you go, whap, back off, devil. And how do you do that? With the word of God. The Lord my God is with me always. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer. Bring your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. And on and on and on and on we could go with all the scriptures. If you don't know your word, survival is very difficult. But with that, we have the completed armor. So I want to back up on these statements. Ask yourself the questions again. Does God's truth really guide my life? Thinking. Do I let emotions or truth determine my actions? Am I consistently, constantly thinking of opportunity to please Jesus? Are my thoughts hopeful or discouraged and doubtful? Do I trust God in every circumstance? And do I know God's word well enough to call on it to dictate every decision? This is the armor of God. This is thinking different. It's all thinking. How do I think? How do I decide? What do I dwell on? When you think different, the armor of God protects you. And the doubts and the discouragements and the confusion, it gets defeated. You can tread on that and walk in an overcoming way. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when is the day of evil going to come? All the time. It's not if the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes. You will face stuff, and you'll probably face it every day. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. That's what we're here to do, folks, to stand. Would you stand with me right now? Let's stand. Pastor Sean will probably have you sit again in a minute to do our offering time, or our connection cards, but let's stand right now. And let's just pray a prayer of renewed thinking. Okay? I'm going to pray, and your words may be something like mine or they may be different. But let's pray that God would help us to stand as we think different. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for this congregation. As we stand together in the body, we want to be able to stand together in the Spirit. It's a hard thing when one of our body passes away. When someone dies and we hurt and we grieve. But Lord, oftentimes there are those who are struggling in the Spirit and we don't even know it. We're not aware of even sometimes death. Someone falls away. Someone leaves the fellowship. Someone decides they don't want to serve Jesus anymore. And we realize that they have been vulnerable to the devil's schemes. God, we need your armor. We pray right now because we want to stand. That we will gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Protect our heart with your righteousness. Be ready and able to follow you and serve you with the feet shod, the readiness of the gospel of peace. That we will wear the helmet of salvation and be hopeful. That we will carry the shield of faith to resist the enemy. And that we will know the word of God to overcome any temptation and doubt. God, we thank you and we praise you for this morning. We want to think different. Thank you for helping us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.